This musicians go ahead and have their seats. We enjoy that song. I always enjoy that. If you ever get to a place where you don't know what to pray for, just think of that song.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't know who wrote that, but they sure were inspired. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight, midweek service. Good to see Sister Laura. We want to go ahead and open our Bibles to Matthew. We'll start reading Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. This is Be Ye Therefore Perfect, part 2. I think one was a couple of weeks ago. This, I guess, kind of more than anything, kind of like a Bible study format, sort of, I guess. See how the Lord goes with it, but Be Ye Therefore Perfect, part 2. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. We'll read to verse 48, and then we go to Matthew chapter 7 after that. So ye have heard that it was said to them of old time that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall I swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute only salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that's where I got this title from. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. This whole thing is the Sermon on the Mount, and after Jesus gets through with the Sermon on the Mount, this is what it says. And it came to pass when Jesus has ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we just want to take this time now and give it to you. Lord, this is your word, this is your church, your people. And so, Lord, we are asking you that you would just take this service in your hands, Lord, that you would speak and anoint and just cause each one of us to go away tonight with that which you would desire for us to have. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. So we'll just rehearse just a little bit from last time, before we get into the new part. So what we read tonight was basically picking up where we left off. So be ye therefore perfect. So we start out in Matthew chapter 5. This is what we refer to, a lot of people refer to as Sermon on the Mount. And as I said the other day, I remember when I was down in Florida at Brother Danny Steeman's, I said to them, you know, oh, we look at the Sermon on the Mount and we say, oh, well, this is, you know, the little stories of Jesus for little kids. And I said, is it really? Is it really for kids? Because try to do some of these things that he's telling you here, and then you find out that it's a lot harder than what you think. And of course, the Lord doesn't want us doing this in ourselves. We can't do it in ourselves. You can't do this, because when you see all these things he's talking about here, he is just smacking right in the face human nature, fallen human nature. And so what he's trying to show you here is that this is the life that God would have you to live for us to be perfect, to be like our Father, and then it comes like what we're reading here. And so I was explaining the other day that you know, here is that Israel was in bondage to all of Rome, and you can imagine all the things they were in subjection of Rome, and here was the religious leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees, were their religious system, and looking down their nose at everybody. And so the common people like you and I were very oppressed, very subdued underneath all these powers. And all they could do was look up and say, well, the mighty Romans and the mighty priests, and, you know, and we're just nothing. And all we can do is just bear the burdens that they put upon us. Right? This was the kind of people it was. And when Jesus began to speak to them, he begins to open his mouth and he said, blessed are you. And as I expressed the other day, blessed are you, not those up there, not the high, you know, the Romans and the high priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but blessed are you people.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Blessed are you, and I'll go through it quickly. Blessed are you, blessed are the poor in spirit. Mm-hmm. Right? Not them. Okay. So I'm trying to get you to see the message that Jesus appeared on the scene with to people, and what their condition was, and what this message must have been to them. They've never heard anything like this. All they heard from the Pharisees and Sadducees was a system that kept the Pharisees high ranking and the people low, and same way with the Romans. Jesus didn't come that way. Jesus came to the common people with a message to the common people who it was sent to. So he said, you know, blessed are the poor, blessed are those that mourn. I'm not reading, because it take a while, but you can go back and read it. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, right? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is why it is so important for you to be able to look inside your heart and see a hunger. Because if you see a hunger in there and a thirst for righteousness, brother, sister, it's coming. You shall be. This is his words. You shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Again, as we've said so many times, you know, if you don't forgive, it will not be forgiven.
Right.
And if you don't show mercy, you won't receive mercy.
Right.
But blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Look at all the different categories of people that he says, you're the ones that are blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers. I don't envision the Roman soldiers being peacemakers.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But Jesus is telling them, it's not them. It's not the ruling class. They're not going to receive it. They won't give up their power, their seats, and their high places of authority. They won't do it. But this gospel is to you who suffer under their hands. And I can say the same thing today. They won't give up their power.
Yeah.
They won't admit that their denominations are wrong. They won't admit that they've been scandalous in all their politics and all that. Forget it. It's not to them. Right? It would be to them if they could repent, but you know they won't. Right? They won't. Seldom does it ever happen. So it's not to them, but it is to you. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when you're reviled and you're persecuted and you're evil spoken of falsely. This is the things that Jesus was telling them. So I'm just going to rehearse through what we went through last time quickly. He said, you're the salt of the earth. Not them. They may control complete economies of the world. But it's you that's the salt of the earth. And remember what the prophet tells us, salt preserves. We use salt to cure meat. It's good too. Salt, pork. And so salt preserves, and Brother Ray said they would use it in making covenants because salt is preserving. So they'd use salt to say, this is my word and it's preserved and your word to me. And we make a covenant with salt, yeah. Right? Yeah. And Jesus said, you're the salt, and if salt loses its savor, if salt doesn't do what it's supposed to do, if salt doesn't make people thirsty, that's why they serve you chips the way they do in these salty things in these taverns and stuff. Not that I've ever been there, but you understand, even in any place, they'll serve that stuff to you and because they want you to drink more. Sure. But so he said, you're the salt, and if you've lost this your saltiness, it's worth nothing, yeah. Right? If I reach for the salt shaker and I want to salt eggs or whatever it is, and I like salt, well, if I put that on there and it didn't do anything, it would go in the trash can. Yeah. Right? So Jesus saying, it's you. You're the ones that are salt of the earth.
That's right.
And you've got to be salty. Mm-hmm. Because if this world is going to, if the world's going to get thirsty for the gospel, it's going to come through you, not all that bunch.
Right.
It's going to come through you. Because you're the salt of the earth. Mm-hmm. He says, you're the light of the world. Again, I keep saying, not them, because I want you to understand. There's a class of people this gospel goes to. It's the ones who will receive it. And it's usually those that are beat down. It's usually not those in high places.
Yeah.
Right? So he said, you are the light of the world. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So if people are going to walk in and not stumble, it's going to be because you shine. So the world will never look at those ruling class and see anything that would illuminate their pathway of life into righteousness. It will not come from them. Because you, the common people, this is how the world is illuminated. It's through you, through your walk. That's when he said, a city that's set on the hill. And that's why the bride of Christ is represented in the book of Revelation as seven cities. Because a city set on a hill can't be hid, right? Because if it's up high, you can't hide it.
Right.
And he's telling you, if you are to shine, you are to be visible. You are not to be hidden.
Yeah.
And so he says, you're a city set on a hill, and a man doesn't take a candle and light it and then hide it under a bushel.
Right.
You light a candle so it gives out light to the rooms, right? That's what he says. And then, again, that's why the seven church ages represented by seven candlesticks. Because it's right here to this scripture. It's the bride of Christ who's to give light in the absence of him. Because you use a candle at nighttime. So he says, I have not come. Because it sounds like when Jesus is standing there preaching, he's totally contrary to the ruling class of religious leaders. And it sounds like he's trying to be different. So he says, look, I'm not coming here to destroy the law. I'm here to fulfill it. And I say that because people might look at what God is doing in this day in the ranks of the bride and say, you people are trying to be different. And all we can say is, no, we're not. We are living out the fulfillment of the word of God for this day, just like Jesus did. And every bit of it will come to pass. Because Jesus said, not one jot, not one tittle, the whole thing, it will come to pass. Nothing will pass away, but this word is going to be fulfilled. And it's the same way today. The coming of the Lord and what he's doing and the message he's sending forth is to fulfill these things. So he goes on, he says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven, right? And so those people are standing there, and they know what the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, they know what they are, but Jesus is telling them it's with you, and your righteousness must exceed that. And in my opinion, it wouldn't be too hard to exceed that. But he says, your righteousness, and so I say that to us today, our righteousness must exceed the mainstream religious system, religious leaders of this world today. What's accepted is common. Broad is the gate that goes to destruction, but narrow is that way that leads to life. And so our righteousness, our right standing with God has to exceed those things today, just like it did, Jesus said, in those days. So Jesus goes on to tell us, and he says, you know, it's written, you've heard, that you shall not kill. But he said, I say unto you, if you are angry with your brother without cause, you're in danger of judgment. It's what he was saying. You're in danger of judgment if you kill. But he says, but I say to you, if you're even angry with your brother without cause, then you're in danger of the same thing as you would if you kill. And so he goes on and gives different scenarios of that. So he's telling us, and I mentioned the other day, and we've so many times in the past, where Moses said at the end of his ministry, he rehearsed everything that God had done with the children of Israel, and he said, now, don't you add to and don't you take away one word from what God has done and what he's written. That's what Moses said. He said, don't you add to it and don't you take away from it. He said, but God's going to raise up a prophet someday like me. And him you shall hear. Now don't you change it, but when he comes, you better hear him. In other words, what he has to say will supersede this. So when he comes, and it shall come to pass that whoever will not hear him will be cut off from among the people. So even Moses, they say, oh, we're Moses. Well, listen to what Moses said. Moses said, yeah, don't you change this law, but I'll come someday in the flesh, and I will magnify that, and I'll fix what needs to be fixed. Right. And so that's why Jesus said, it's written in your law, but I say. It's written in your law, but I say. It's because of that right there, where Moses said, he's going to come, and you'll have to listen to him. So these things that we're talking about here supersede anything that's written in that law of Moses. Right? And so Jesus says, you know, it's written, they say, don't kill, but I'm telling you that if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you're just as bad.
Right.
Because murder starts there, right? Yeah. So he says, if you know that your brother has someone, your brother or sister, whatever, has somewhat against you, has something against you, you want to come and you want to worship the Lord. You want to come and offer a gift on the altar. That's what it's talking about. You want to serve God and do something for the Lord. But you know that there's somebody that you've offended. He said, then you leave your gift. He don't tell you not to come back. He just says, leave it there at the altar. You go and you make that right with that person. And then you come back and offer your gift to God. And so, listen, brother, sister, we went through so many years in this message, everybody want to talk about the mysteries, and that's fine. But the person of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ, is what we must have.
That's right.
Above and beyond understanding mysteries, we have to have, and we know the true revelation of mysteries and all those things will bring the life of Christ in you. But you understand, you have to have that. And so, you gonna come to church, but you know you've made somebody mad, right? And so he's saying, you go fix that. And a real Christian who's walking with the Lord, if you have offended someone and you know it, you're already tore up yourself because of it, because you don't want that. Right? And so how could you come and freely worship the Lord when you know something is laying there? So you go make those things right. And I'm saying that to you. Make those things right. So leave your gift at the altar, go make it right, then come and offer your gift. And we ended the last time with this portion where Jesus said, he said, I'm using my own phrase, but you see it there, settle your disputes quickly. When you have a problem with someone, you settle those things quickly, lest he turn you over to the officer and the judge and so forth, and they you know, put you in prison. In other words, unless judgment falls upon you because you haven't made, got, sought peace and solved differences, right? So sell your differences quickly. Paul said, be angry, but sin not.
Right.
Let not the sun go down on your wrath.
Right.
Now think about that. Settle your differences the same day before nightfall. It's what Jesus says, and this supersedes anything you read in the law.
Right.
See, this isn't just fairy tales. This isn't just kids' stories, but Jesus said these things for a reason.
Right.
And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, a person who, when they get full of the Holy Ghost and walking with the Lord, these things matter. And this is where you want to be. And so now we come into the portion we read tonight. So Jesus said, you know, it's written that, you know, a man can put away his wife, give her a bill of divorcement, right? It's written, but I say. So there's that magnification again, right? But I say, because, you know how people are. They'll use the law to their advantage.
Sure.
It's always that way. And so with the law and the things the way it was, could a man just put away, he don't like his wife no more, he wants somebody, you put her away. Here, right, here, go. Done. Right? We know Jesus later, when we talk about it, they said, well, Moses told us we could put him. He said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you, allowed you to do that. But from the beginning it wasn't so. So Jesus is saying, yeah, you've heard this. So Jesus, in this, he's going back and he's preaching. He's beginning to tell the people his doctrine. And he's going back and he's picking up these things in the law and saying, here's what it says, but I'm telling you the magnified form of what that really means, what that should be. And so he's saying, you can't just put away your wife just any old reason. There's got to be a real reason for it. And he said, it's saving for the cause of fornication. But if you see, nobody's clean in this example. That if you put her away for any other reason other than fornication, then you cause her. So you're guilty too. You cause her to commit adultery. And Brother Bram said, why? Because she'll marry again. That's what he said, isn't that right? Marriage and divorce. But because she'll marry again, and she'll be committing adultery, and you will cause it, and the man that marries her will be committing adultery. So Jesus said, you can't just, whatever, you know. So he's just, you know, just like our prophet in this day, God sent him to tie the loose ends and straighten out the things that was misunderstood. Jesus doing the same thing back there in his day, to take that law and lay it out, what is really the idea behind it that God has for it. And so he's showing us here that it's not just, it's not what you do outwardly so much. I mean, it is that too, but it's what's in the heart. That's what really, and Jesus even says that, you know, it's not what goes into a man, but it's what comes out, is what defiles him. So he said, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, right? And so we always think about in the natural, oh, you get a right eye, you pluck it out or whatever. But a person has, I hope I can try to express this. So, you know, like the scriptures that he that hath an ear to hear, well, we got two ears. It's not talking about these. It's talking about a spiritual ear.
Yeah.
It's talking about what you hear, you know, in a spiritual realm. And so, and you know, in the Bible, right hand is the power and authority, right? Not the left. So if thy right eye offend thee, so if the eye that's in you, the way it looks and the way it sees and the way it perceives in life,
right?
If that's an offensive thing, if that's going to cause you to be lost, you've got to get that out,
sure.
Right? You have a spiritual makeup. You know, our physical body has physical makeup. We have a spiritual makeup, and we have, and so there's imagination, conscience, memory, reason, affection. These are spiritual inlets, right? As the prophet tells us. And so in that spirit realm, you know, we have a seeing, we have an eye, the way we behold things, the way we see things, and how we, and if that's evil, right? If that's not right, you've got to get that away from you. Cast that thing away. And you have to realize, here's Jesus coming, and he's beginning to present to these people the concept that it's what's inside you that's a problem if it's wrong. Where all they had before was just law, oh, yeah, I'll go down here, you know. It didn't deal with what was in the heart. But now he's presenting a gospel that deals with it. So he's beginning to tell you, you know, if you have a spiritual makeup and the way you behold things, if that's evil, you've got to get rid of that. So the same thing he says, if thy right hand offend thee, which your what you do with yourself, what you bless, what you support. See, you can't do things that's contrary to the gospel and expect to be saved. You can't have an evil eye and expect to be saved. So Jesus is telling us in your spiritual makeup, get rid of these things out of your life that is offensive, because it will cost your whole being to be cast into hell. But he's providing a way to get rid of those things. So, you know, he's not telling us, well, my right hand offends me, I'm going to cut it off, you know, physically. You know, someone could say, well, you know, well, of course, if it had flesh-eating disease or something, you probably would, okay. But this, he's talking about things that matter in spirit realm, down inside, what really matters. And so, he went on to talk about divorce. And I just mentioned that, causing her to commit adultery. So he says in verse 33, 36, do not forswear thyself. You know, if you read in over in Paul's writings, I don't remember exactly the location at the moment, but in Hebrews, I believe it is, and he was talking about when men make an oath, when they swear, to, you know, because God could swear by no one greater. He swore by himself. Because men, when they make an oath, they usually, or swear, it's not to themselves, but it's to something higher than themselves. Follow me? Like if they're like, I'm promising you by the name of whatever, something higher than themselves. They usually, and so swearing to something higher. And Paul talks about that. So men normally do that, something higher, but God, because there was no one higher than him, he swore by himself. And so when he says here, don't forswear thyself, because you can't make one hair black or white. You can't do nothing. You can't make a promise higher than you. Right? Right? You know, and so you can't change nothing. So he's saying, not by heaven, because it's God's throne, not by earth, his footstool, not by Jerusalem, because it's the city of the king, not even to yourself, because you can't, right? Don't even swear at all, is what he said. Right? Don't even swear at all. So, you know, Paul, when he's speaking about it, he says, men do this. He wasn't necessarily saying this is right. He just said, men normally, when they make an oath, they do it to someone, something greater. But God could not do it to anyone greater, so he did it to himself, by himself. So, do not forswear thyself at all. Let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, because evil don't come from anything greater than that. And we've all seen it. We've all seen horsing around, talking, joking around, whatever, until next thing you know, somebody's mad, somebody's offended, somebody's hurt. And there's a lot of things I guess we could say about this, but, you know, in order for you to say yeah, yeah, nay, nay, that means somebody's having to ask you a question. Right? Somebody asked you a question, you say yeah, yeah, no, no, whatever. So to me, I don't think this scripture is telling us you just don't say anything in your whole life except yes, yes, no, no. Right? So when I read that, there is communication that's necessary. There's communication that's required that we do day in and day out, just to do whatever the things we do. And you know, just necessary for life. But when you begin to go beyond that into drama and into all this nonsense and all out into things beyond what is good, wholesome living, well, then you see evil things coming from that. And so, not trying to change it, I'm just saying, if you look at it, you know, we have to live, and we have to make decisions and so forth. But you understand, Jesus is telling you, listen, live a life that's not full of all that nonsense, right? But not a bunch of, you know, Brother Bam said the spirit of America is joking, right? We all like to laugh, joke, and so forth. We all do it. But you got to be careful, because from that comes things that can hurt. That's like why, you know, don't ever joke with someone that you don't love, because if you hurt them, you're going to have to make it right. Yeah. Right? You hurt their feelings. And it's so easy. Someone said something to me one time, and I know the person. If I explained to them what they said and what that really, how that came to me, they would apologize. It was very offensive to me, what they said. But, and that happens, see? So, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. He says, you've heard that it's eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, right? You've heard those things. But I say unto you that resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn him the other also. Is that normal human nature? No. You smite me on the right cheek, I'm probably going to smite you back. Right? That's the human nature. As a matter of fact, that is the nature of reflexes. Right? That's the reflexes. I had a guy one time, I'd gotten a shot. My arm was hurting really bad. And then he had, I don't know if he caught a big fish or something the day before. He came up to me, grabbed me on that arm to tell me about this fish or whatever it was that he did, you know. And it hurt. And I jerked away from him like that because it hurt, just a reflex. And it offended him. And he cussed me from one side to the other, you know. You know, and then he come back and apologize later. But my point is, you know, your reflexes, sometimes your reflexes can offend also, you know. But see, if somebody smites you on the right cheek, and Jesus said, turn the other one also, resist not evil. He's not telling you to join it. He's telling you not to fight against it. Resist not evil. So if they smite you on the right cheek, turn him the other. And if a man will sue thee at the law to take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Give him more than what he wins in the court case. That is not our nature. Does anybody have that nature? I didn't think so. That is not our nature. But this is what Jesus said. Because he's bringing it to something here. Okay? Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Go twice as far. Help him twice as much. Give to him that would ask of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. And you're thinking, if that gets out to all my friends, and they know that that's what I'm doing, they'll be asking me for everything. What you think? You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say, Jesus says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Here's where he brings it. Part of it, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Do you know, God blesses, God puts his blessings on the evil and the good. We know that. He blessed us in days when we were evil. Right? And so Jesus is saying, this is the nature of your heavenly Father. And you be the same. There's a reason why. It'll all come out in the wash. It'll all come out in judgment. Right? But there's a reason why he wants us to live this way. Because remember, we're supposed to be salty. We're supposed to be a light. And if we act like everybody else, that's not a light. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Right? Being lifted up on the cross, we think, oh yeah, up on the cross. But to be lifted up, lift him up is to put him higher where everybody can see him. And when you live his life, you're living higher than the rest of the world. And they can see it. And this is what he's talking about. That kind of life will do good to those who want to be evil towards you, that are evil towards you. So he sends his rain to the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, everybody loves people who love them, right? If you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? Doesn't the world even bless them that bless them? Right? Bless somebody that get, you know. The world does that, but he's calling us to do something greater than that. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? If you're only kind to those who are kind to you, if you only speak to those who speak to you, everybody does that. And he's saying, if that's all you do, you're not any different. You're not any different than the world. That's the concept of this whole thing right here, his doctrine, to let you know there's a life that comes from God that you can have that will be this, and it will outshine. It will be the salt of the earth. It will be the light of the world. It will catch people's attentions. It will be persecuted. But blessed are you when these things happen. So be ye therefore... do not even the publicans the same. So be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So perfection, this perfection of being perfect like the Father, is having that character, that nature, to act this way. It is totally contrary to human nature. Right? And so we spend our time thinking, oh, you know, we're Christians. And that's fine. But how much of this have we attained? And you don't attain it in yourself, but only by surrender and submission and walking in fellowship with the Lord. To where when you have that kind of love, when your heart is full of the love of God, you love the sinners. You do pray for those who do evil against you. And do it with a pure heart. Amen? And so that's what this whole thing, Jesus telling all this, to be perfect like your Father, because He does these things. He's good and does all this. And the day will come. Remember David, when David was rejected as king. Of course, that was a type of Christ. But when that one fella come out and was spitting on David and so forth. And one of David's servants said, I'll just cut his head off or whatever. And David said, let him alone. Let him alone. God did. Maybe God told him to be that. Do that. You know, as part of the rejection, let him do that. Don't retaliate. So I'm showing you that here, what Jesus, even back in the Old Testament, you see it, right? David anointed with the king, what Jesus and what Jesus did when they did the things to him, and he's telling us to be the same way. And so David said, "Don't touch him. Leave him alone." But later on, when David turned his ministry, his kingship over to Solomon, all judgment is committed to the son. Then David told Solomon, you remember that guy? You know what to do with him. You take care of him. And that was dealt with. And so you understand, it'll all come out at the end of the ages. Anything that's been wrong will be made right. Right? So don't resist evil. Right? Seek to walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit so that that character shines through, that you surely, truly show the world that there's something greater than all of us out here that we see, and with all this ruling class and all these things, there's a bride that lives differently. Mm-hmm. Amen. May the Lord bless you. We'll just pray for a moment. If the musicians want to come, we'll find a song to sing. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time to be with your people in midweek service. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because even all the way down in this late time, 2023, your word is still true and always be true. We thank you, Lord, because you are that faithful and true witness and have come in this day to bring these things to us, bring them to our remembrance and to show us the things to come. We love you, Lord. We pray that you just bless this word to the hearts of each of your people now. We ask it in Jesus' name.